Hi there, Jason Murchie here, talking with two folks who have a lot to say about partnership and forgiveness and compassion and love, and I think that one of the elements that is so interesting is the way that these concepts and, of course, the antitheses of these concepts play out in the newspaper every day. So here's a quotation to consider by Howard Zinn, who I think is a titan in the area of justice and peace and just goodness. He says, "We should take our example not from our political and military leaders shouting, 'Retaliate in war,' but from the doctors and nurses and medical students and firefighters and police officers who've been saving lives in the midst of mayhem, whose first thoughts are not violence, but healing, not vengeance, but compassion."
Do you dream of owning your own business? Franchising may hold the key. Invest in a proven business with proven results. Not sure where to start? Franchise Solutions can help. Franchise Solutions has helped thousands of entrepreneurs find a business to fit their goals and dreams. Find information on hundreds of franchise and business opportunities, as well as tips, advice, and tons of franchise-related resources. Franchise Solutions. Find the business that's right for you. Visit us online today at www.franchisesolutions.com.
This is Jeff. While he's sleeping, he's providing food and clothing to flood victims in the next state. This is Susan. She's making dinner now. She's also helping people get first aid, CPR, and AED training. And this is Gary. He's stuck in traffic right now. Meanwhile, he's helping to provide measles vaccinations to children in another country. Jeff, Susan, and Gary aren't superhuman. They just donate money to the Red Cross. While they go on about their lives, their donations work together, helping to fund activities that save lives, proving that when we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. So whatever you're doing right now, you could also be helping your community to prepare for the unexpected, all with just a simple donation.
Listen, the world is talking. World Talk Radio.
To reach a show host or guest during the live show, dial toll-free in North America, 866-613-1612. Or if outside the USA and Canada, dial 001-858-268-3068.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to the third segment of today's show, Partnership and Forgiveness, here on Values and Ethics from Living Room to Boardroom. I'm speaking with Drs. Rhianne Eisler and Fred Luskin. Thanks again, you two, for staying with me this long. If you didn't, I'd be talking to myself, and that's weird and lonely. So, Fred, you were speaking about 9/11. Please continue.
Well, I was trying to suggest that some of the work that I'm doing is right in line with what Rhianne was suggesting, and just here's how. I am collaborating with a minister who was central in the relief efforts after the 9/11 attack on World Trade Center. He ran the Episcopal Church right next to the World Trade Center, and a lot of the relief effort was centered around there. And now, what we're doing besides providing some direct forgiveness training to some of the family members is we're establishing a garden of forgiveness, which one of them was established in Beirut, and is just a little bit ahead of this, But we're establishing a garden of forgiveness somewhere in New York City, and then we're working with people to establish one or two others around the United States to serve as very specific reminders of the value of forgiveness, that it'll be a garden that you can walk in and for peace and a place of reflection, but there'll also be educational materials on forgiveness because, again, that very simple affirmative message that you want to be in communities, that there are alternatives to violence, there are alternatives to resentment, there are alternatives to the self-righteous condemnation of other people, and I believe those alternatives, it's appropriate to have them in many communities, that you want monuments to goodness, not just monuments to horror and hostility.
Well, again, we're talking about changing normative ideals.
That's exactly
aren't
right.
We? And that is a very important part of it. Of course, another important part of cultural change is to actually change structures. And here I think that policies that empower women and that protect children, and I mean the good news is that for the first time we have a United Nations Convention on the Rights of Children, a United Nations Convention on the Rights of Women, neither of which this country has ratified, which is bizarre. I mean, the cradle of democracy and of human rights, we claim. But the thing is, how do we really combine changing the normative ideal with changing the structures? And through my books, I get lots of mail from people saying that, my books have really changed their lives. And again, the issue, however, is once we have the awareness that there is what I call a partnership alternative, how do we not only change our own lives, but how do we change the culture? And all of the interventions that I'm now working on, other than books, I think are really important. You know, because what you said is interesting. I have heard from therapists that they actually give people my books, even though they're not about personal psychology, but because they're empowering. They're empowering and they show that there are alternatives and that change is possible. But the challenge, I think, is to reach religious leaders and to change religious messages, is to reach education and change educational messages. I wrote a book called Tomorrow's Children, which I'm happy to say has been translated into Urdu. I mean, also into Chinese and other languages, presenting a partnership education, sort of a blueprint for it. And yet reaching the policymakers and particularly reaching the economic policymakers, that's a huge challenge. And I wonder if you have some thoughts on that, Fred.
I have questions about whether whatever the average level of development in this world is as ready for that as you and I might hope. That to some degree, I think we get the planet and the country that we want. And I think that there is a definite need to, I mean, I know that the work I do with individuals or groups is incomplete. And I know that there needs to be structural and other kinds of ways that organize things so that it becomes more normative and more acceptable to be good or kind. But I also know that there have been people teaching these things and advocating them forever. As long as there have been people on the planet, there have been alternative voices that have suggested you don't have to dominate, you don't have to conquer, you can live together. There's a collaboration versus competition. And I'm not convinced that part of what we're dealing with is simply the essential human condition, and it is my hope that there is an evolutionary push to more positive together pro-social values than individual competitive and hostile values. But I doubt whether there's a fast solution to any of this.
Well, I don't know that there's a fast solution. I'm talking about generational solutions and long-term strategies, but I think we differ on this.
Okay.
I don't think it's part of the essential human condition, and my research both in neuroscience, drawing from the newest findings there, as well as from findings on archaeology and mythology, which indicate more of a partnership direction in some earlier cultures, has convinced me, and just looking around me convinces me, that not everyone certainly is ready for it, because the socialization for the domination model is still very strong. But I also want to say this, Fred, people have been talking about love and peace and all of that, but they really have not focused. If you look at modern history, for example, at most of the progressive social movements, which have challenged one tradition of domination after another, from the divinely ordained right of kings to rule to the divinely ordained right of one race to rule over another, they have not focused enough on the primary human relations, on changing the relationships in families from the, quote, traditions of domination of men over women and parents over children. And I think that if we address those foundational relations much, much more vigorously from a social perspective, we can build foundations. And one thing I do want to say, the partnership model is not about cooperation versus competition. There is certainly cooperation in the domination model. The 9/11 terrorists cooperated. Invading armies cooperate. Monopolies cooperate. That's much too simplistic. It is about a particular kind of social configuration in which, first of all, there's equal partnership and equal value given to the two halves of humanity, women and men. And second, where children are really have rights in their family. And third, where all of this is reflected on the macro social level in a very, very different way of structuring all relations and in very different normative ideals. And, of course, it's hard to condense all of this. I've written 5 books on this. I'm trying to say it in one sentence.
You know, I would not quarrel at all with anything that you've said. One thing I will say, which is positive, is I've been sitting here listening to you, and you what you say is with a gentleness and without a hard edge. And I have sat with, say, I was just recently at a conference where people were talking about, not in the way that you were talking about it, but the need to, say, redress the male-dominated perspective. And the woman who was talking about that had so much anger herself and was so needful of power herself that's where my own poignant kind of sorrow at the human condition comes up, that there's a part of me that just sees, and maybe it's just, you know, a Buddhist understanding that there are greed and selfish experiences that each person has, and those have to be whittled away as a part of whatever transformation occurs.
Well, what you said, of course, so early in the conversation was that the wounded wound others.
Yeah, they do.
So this happens. However, I think it's anger is part of the healing process. Just the outrage at injustice, I think, is a very healthy emotion. Now, what we do with it, I mean, I certainly have that emotion. I'm outraged.
Right. But
and so are you, I think.
Well, but it depends. The place where it gets tricky, and yes, of course, we're all outraged. Finding things wrong on this planet is not hard. It's doing constructive things about them that's difficult, and also not making enemies out of the people who we think are the cause of the outrage.
Well, and that's precisely where providing the alternative of the partnership rather than domination system as a system.
Yeah, and that's where you and I essentially, I think, agree.
Yeah.
Well, that would be a great place to stop then, because if you agree on that,
we
want that to be our last word, because we are truly out of time, and to go further would probably just lead us further away from this sweet spot.
Oh, and I got to get back to work. Thank you both very much.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Luskin. And Rianne,
it's been a pleasure to talk with you.
I truly appreciated your book, and I'm also proud to say that this month the book Living a Life of Value is coming out, to which you contributed a wonderful chapter, and I'll be sending that to you, and I urge the listener to check that out on my website, valuesofthewise.com. You can find Rianne Eisler and me and 73 other people talk about their values.
And if somebody is interested in specifically going to the website of the Spiritual Alliance to stop intimate violence, it's S as in spiritual, A-I-V as in violence, .net.
Okay, there you have it. Best to you, Rianne, and I will talk to you, the listener, next week.